Amen. Good morning. Today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and then we're skipping a little to 13 through 16. So let's read this. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it up. Otherwise, there will be words on the screen, and just feel free to follow along. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the gift of salvation. God, we thank you for the gift of relationship with you. Help us today to understand that salvation and that relationship just a little more today. And may our understanding not only be with our heads and our brains, but God, with our hearts and our actions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Several weeks ago, maybe about a month ago now, my favorite baseball team, the San Diego Padres, you're supposed to cheer when I say San Diego Padres. No, you don't have to. They were in town. They were playing against the Phillies. You don't have to cheer when I say Phillies. Ed cheered for Phillies. Okay. They were in town. So I went to the game, and I was excited to be able to go. It was, I hadn't been to a Major League Baseball game in a long time, as many of you probably hadn't over the last couple of years because of COVID and everything else. But I got to go, and the thing about it was, it got me thinking about what we do to prepare to go to things. I bought these tickets like a couple weeks before the game, and I had them in my possession. And there was this preparation to go to the game. And this process of meeting at the right place, making the right plan, getting together with the people I was going with and driving down to the stadium, which took way too long, and then, you know, getting up to the gate, and then there was rain, because I'm in New Jersey, and I'd never seen rain at a Padres game in my life before, but here we were, and there was a delay, and there was more standing around trying to hide from the rain, and then we got to go to some of the game, and then it rained again, and then we had to stand some more, and then they let it go some more, so we went down and watched again the whole time, fearing that there was going to be more rain. But there was this long kind of preparation process to where the game was more than just the game. There's this whole, it takes more time than that. It's a whole day. It's a whole preparation. And so I was thinking about the way a ticket actually works. See, when you have a ticket, it's really not as passive as we usually think about it. A ticket is a kind of hope. It's a hope that you act on, right? Now, I'm putting a lot of trust in that ticket. When I get myself up in the morning and I put on my Padres jersey and I meet with my friends at the car and we drive 3 hours or whatever it took to get there and we wait in the rain and then we go, I'm trusting that ticket, aren't I? We put a lot of faith in that. Now, what if I got to the front gate and I had my ticket and they were like, oh, no, this one doesn't work. Sorry, you lost. This one wasn't good enough, so you can't go in. You know, then my whole day, everything I did to prepare was kind of pointless, right? So we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't prepare ourselves unless we trusted in the ticket, unless we trusted in the final outcome, unless we trusted that we were going to get through those gates, we wouldn't bring that. We wouldn't have prepared ourselves so much. See, a ticket is a kind of hope that we trust so much that it's as good as done. But it's something that we actually act on. See, there's a danger. I'm going to make the connection here of faith and a ticket. And there's a real danger in making that connection. When I lived in San Diego, my parents owned a Christian bookstore. They had those at one point. It was a Christian bookstore before Amazon put them all out of business. And they sold Bibles and books and other things. And my mom, every once in a while, because of, you know, it's a Christian bookstore, she didn't, not everything in her stock was stuff that she really liked. You know, sometimes you see some of those kind of kitschy things or, you know, art that's kind of corny or silly. And she sold these tracts. You guys know what tracts are? And kind of you pass them out to, and they usually say, like, you're probably going to hell unless you turn the page or something. I don't know. They're weird. So sometimes they're, you know, they can be good or bad. But there was one that it was a ticket to heaven. And it was like the sinner's prayer was on the back, but it was, this is your ticket to heaven. And my mom really hated that, and probably because I really hated that, because it gave this sense that, like, what this life is about is just getting into heaven. What this life is about is waiting until we die so Jesus can take us where we really belong. And what it says about this life is that this is all just kind of a waiting room and none of it really matters. So there's a dangerous way to think about faith as a ticket. Because faith in Christ is not about waiting for the afterlife. Faith in Christ is about our journey with Christ in the here and now. It's about the hope that we have. Yes, that is future, but it's also right now. It's not just about getting in the gates. It's about the whole preparation of acting on the reality of God. Now, if that's what it is, then it is kind of like a ticket in the sense that we have this faith, we have this promise from God that is as good as done. And so why wouldn't we act on it? Why wouldn't we get to the car and drive through the rain and wait? Why wouldn't we do that? This faith is about today. In 1 Peter, we're told that Christ has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What does Peter mean here by living hope? We actually sang it in one of our worship songs this morning. Do you remember that? You're my living hope. I was glad. Good job, Brian, if you snuck that in. Otherwise, thanks, Holy Spirit, for sneaking it in for him. But what does it mean to have a living hope? It's not just some kind of optimism about the future. It's not passively waiting for something else to happen. It's a hope that's alive. It's a hope that's on the ground, a hope that sees this world and what it is and anticipates the coming of God. It says you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's not you have received or you will receive, it's you are receiving. Salvation is not something that awaits us at the pearly gates when we die. Salvation is something you are receiving now in faithful obedience to the God who saves us. We are receiving this gift, the gift of being born again into a living hope. Faith is a now thing. It's the journey in and to the world that is to come. And this hope is true and present, worth acting on, because it is here and now, according to the word of God's promise. And God does not break promises. If you thought that this faith was just about the future, I'm sorry to disappoint. If you thought that following Jesus was just about paying your dues until we go to where we really belong, I don't think that's what it's really about. It's not just about what happens when you die. Because if it was, then Peter probably would have stopped after at the end with this, when he talks about the indescribable and glorious joy in verse 8 there, he probably would have stopped. It would have ended with a trumpet, right? Yay, we're saved, just wait. But instead he goes on, he says, therefore. So whenever you see therefore in the Bible, you have to ask, what's the therefore, therefore? Therefore, so point back, it's because of this living hope that we've been given birth into. We don't choose that. That's something God gives us because we were born into the living hope of God in Jesus Christ. Because we've been given this inheritance that is imperishable. Nobody can do anything about that. It's imperishable. This inheritance is ours in Jesus Christ. Because of that, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly held in ignorance. Instead, as he who has called you holy, you yourselves be holy. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Because this is the thing we miss sometimes as Christians, is this relationship between action and faith. Is our action something we do to earn our salvation? Does our action precede our faith, that we have to live in order to receive the grace of God? No, that's why it's called grace. But action is the natural impulse of having received grace from God. Because we know the gift of God, therefore we prepare ourselves for action. Because we know that we have the ticket, we know that it's as good as done, we don't stop, we don't just wait for it to come to us, we live it out, we act, and we become holy as God is holy. When I went to that Padres game, it was my first Major League Baseball game I'd been to in a long time. And I rejoiced with an indescribable and glorious joy until about the sixth inning when the Phillies took the lead and we lost the game. Yeah, Ed was happy. That's gonna be the one game that the Padres missed the playoffs by, and it'll be because of the Phillies. Anyway, What was I saying about that? I think I just wanted an excuse to talk about baseball. The point is, all the trouble was worth it. All the work, all the living hope, it's worth it, not because I earned it, but because in living hope, we get to experience the joy of being in Christ now, not just someday, not just when we get there, but today. And that journey will take you places. It will take you outside of your comfort zone. It'll take you to the places that other people are probably telling you not to go. It'll take you to the people that other people might be telling you should watch out for them. It will take you to the most vulnerable places in the world, because Jesus Christ, in joy and freedom, went to the cross. Let's pray. God, we thank you, and we celebrate with indescribable joy the faith that you have given us, the gift of salvation that you have given us birth into. God, we want to be people who live lives of love that reflect who you are and that celebrate the truth and the promise that is as good as done. God, help us to prepare ourselves to be faithful to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're celebrating communion together. Communion, think about that word, communion. It's not just a ritual that we do. It is a coming together in communion, in community, in compassion and love, together as the body of Christ. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had a meal with his friends. And at that meal, they had all the normal things. And they had bread. And it was like any bread they'd ever had before, but Jesus took it and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you." See, Jesus is that living hope. Jesus' broken body is a symbol for us that God is with us here and now, that God refuses to stand far away as we endure the brokenness of this world, but God is bringing that hope now. God in Jesus Christ offered his body and broke it for us. And he offered the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you." Because Jesus didn't just want to offer himself as an idea, but Jesus wanted to be in relationship with us. You've been given a cup, I hope, kind of like the coffee creamers that we've been passing out. You know, take a moment now to open it carefully, starting with the bread. God loves us. God loves you so much. And God has offered you to be taken into his life, to be consumed by him as you consume the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. Take and eat. Jesus offered the cup as a new covenant, as an agreement and a relationship, like a marriage covenant, so that we would not only experience salvation as some abstract thing, but we would experience salvation as relationship with Jesus. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. We celebrate this communion with an indescribable joy because the hope that we have practiced is as good as done, and it is a living hope. We have been invited to be the body of Christ. Amen? Let's pray together. God, we love you and thank you for the joy that you give us in your grace freely because you love us. God, help us to celebrate that joy by practicing faith, by preparing ourselves for action, action that reflects who you are, that shows us who you are, and that takes us where you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship God together.